Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would open your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, the last time I was here and teaching, we saw the martyrdom of Stephen, one of the deacons who had been chosen, who was used by God to work miracles. And now, Stephen has been killed. And at the end of that story, we read Saul was there giving approval to his death. We begin in chapter 8 and read through verse 25. This is God's word. "On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, 'This man is the divine power known as the Great Power.' They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles that he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, 'Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' Peter answered, 'May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin.' Then Simon answered, 'Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me.' When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We see here a pattern that continues today. The pattern is that the enemy attacks, persecution is real, and God is triumphant. Because when the church comes under attack, the church is scattered. Well, I don't think they ought to run. Jesus said, if they persecute you in this place, go to another. But what happens is we're contagious. Right now, there are folks that I know who are part of this church who are battling contagious illnesses. One fellow who just got back from a cruise has MRSA. That's a nasty thing and highly contagious. They've now been fighting it with antibiotics down in Florida, and he's no longer testing positive for MRSA, thank the Lord. He's back home here in the valley, and we rejoice in that, and they're watching today. And David and Deborah, we prayed for you in prayer service today. We love you. Rick and Jenda are battling COVID. COVID, MRSA, mercy. Some have less exotic things, a rhinovirus here, influenza there, various things that people have. One of the reasons why some folks are not in church today is because they would love to spread the love, but they don't want to spread their germs or their viruses. Thank God for such people, okay? But let me tell you something. We have something that is contagious if we know the Lord. And so when the church was scattered, it says they preached the word wherever they went. Verse 4. Wherever they went, they didn't say, man, we don't want to get in trouble here like we did in the last place. Let's keep it quiet. Let's just keep it to ourselves, shall we? You can't. You can't. Now, I mean, if you've ever eaten out with me, you know that whenever I go into a restaurant, I climb up on the table and I say, excuse me, can I have your attention, please? Just want to be sure that everyone here has heard the gospel. Of course not. I don't do that. Thank the Lord, he hasn't asked me to do that. But I also, when I give thanks for the food, speak as if I'm speaking to someone who's at the table. Okay? Have you ever noticed, hopefully you haven't done this, but have you ever noticed how some people, when it's time to thank God for the food, just sort of look like they have something that is itching on their forehead? Okay? You know, it's a silent prayer. And now, if you're alone at the table, you don't need to speak out loud just so that God can hear. But if you're there with others and you recognize the Lord's presence there with you, which he has said, he'll always meet with us. If even two or more gather in his name. And if you were hoping to go out to lunch with someone and not have Jesus there with you, shame on you. So if you're at lunch and it's time to give thanks, just give thanks, okay? And many, many people will not notice, but God will sometimes direct a person's attention to what you're doing. Not because you're loud. You know, when I'm sitting in a restaurant with my wife, I don't speak loudly enough about our grandkids or whatever so that everybody leaves the restaurant knowing our life story, how many grandchildren we have and all that sort of thing. No. But it's very possible if someone's at the next table and they're inclined to listen that they might overhear some of what we're talking about. Just be real. Just be human. You have wonderful news. Don't keep it to yourself. And so everywhere they went, it doesn't say the apostles preached, they were back in Jerusalem. It was everybody else who was scattered, and everywhere they went, they preached the good news. What does that mean? It means they just simply told what they knew. Jesus is alive. We sang, Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. I thought that was an Easter hymn. It said so on there. It says Easter hymn. It is an Easter hymn. And why do we worship on the first day of the week? Because it's the day that Christ arose. And therefore, our lives every day should be rejoicing in the fact that Jesus Christ is risen. See, that changed everything. Everything is different because Jesus is alive. I grew up in a godly family where I was taught the gospel and I believed it intellectually. I said prayers that I was taught before meals and things like that. I said little prayers before I went to bed. But I had never really responded to the gospel by asking the Lord to save me, by confessing the fact that I know I'm a sinner and I deserve God's wrath and my only hope is in Christ Jesus. I had essentially not treated Jesus as if he was alive. Okay? Instead, he was a concept. He was an historical figure. Someone that I believed in, someone that I had an elevated view of. But one night when I was almost asleep, I was startled awake, not by a sound, but by a thought, by a realization. The 50-cent word for it is an epiphany, okay? There was no light in the room. There was no angelic chorus that I was hearing. There was simply the realization that all this time I've known about the Lord. But I've never asked him to save me. And I thought, if I had died tonight, I would have gone to hell. Now, is that an extreme thought? It's just the facts. It's a fact. I had never responded to God's gracious invitation. And so I prayed right then and there, and I asked him to save me. And then there was a light in the room and the angelic chorus. No. It was instead the knowledge that God keeps his promise. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You don't have to have a warm feeling. You don't have to have goosebumps. You just need to believe God. He says he'll save those who trust in him.
Folks, you may be listening to this broadcast from miles away from Ware's Valley, miles away from East Tennessee, and be shocked to learn that Ware's Valley Ranch is helping children from families all across the country, even where you are. That's right, where you are. We've helped children from California to New England states, all across the Southeast, up in the Midwest, all over the U.S. Now, I tell you this because there may be a child in a difficult situation in your community. And if you become aware of a situation, you're welcome to point them to us at wvr.org. It can be a tough conversation with a family member, so please call us if you would like guidance on how to approach them. It could mean the opportunity of a lifetime for a child in crisis. To reach our admissions office, you can call 865-429-0372.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, the church was persecuted. The church was scattered. The gospel spread and folks got saved. The second thing I want us to see in this passage is the fact that there was a lot of supernatural stuff going on, okay? In other words, extraordinary things, things that were not what everybody expected every day. Ways in which people were confronted by the reality that materialism isn't all there is. I'm sorry to say that in my view, most evangelicals, and certainly most non-evangelicals in our culture, spend most of their waking hours viewing the world through practical atheism. Okay? It's not that we say, I don't believe there is a God. It's that we live as if there were no God. We depend upon ourselves. We depend upon others. We figure things out. We plan. And our plans do not include room for the supernatural to invade. It's just not going to happen. And if anything that is perceived by us as supernatural happens, we're pretty skeptical. We kind of wonder, you know, I'm not sure. I don't want to be gullible. God forbid. But how gullible would you have to be not to believe in electricity? I mean, we benefit from it continually. We depend upon it routinely. But imagine if you just basically never thought about it. Well, most of the time you wouldn't get in a lot of trouble. But when the power goes out, when all of a sudden there is no electricity flowing through the circuits, then we're like, what's wrong? We don't miss it because we take it for granted. Let me tell you, people are taking God for granted left and right. They're not recognizing, and if God were to withdraw his hand for a moment, you and I can't draw our next breath. We can't do anything apart from him. Well, these folks were being confronted in ways that got their attention with the supernatural. Stephen was one of the deacons in the early church, one of the first deacons. And yet he did the kind of miracles, God worked miracles through him, that were a lot like what God had been doing through the apostles and through Jesus. Now, Philip, another one of the deacons, goes down to Samaria, and God is working miracles through him. Look what it says. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now, God had to do that here because these people already believed in supernatural signs. They had been fascinated by this fellow Simon, who was a magician. For some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. Sorcery's make-believe, right? I mean, it's just something we put in Disney movies and children's books. Okay? Because we want everybody to understand it's really, it's just pretend. Actually, no, it's not just pretend. Witchcraft is real. Now, tons of people who claim to practice witchcraft or claim to practice sorcery are as bogus as a $3 bill. Okay? You can pretend to do things that are supernatural that aren't supernatural. Okay? More than a few charlatan preachers have been exposed for the ways in which they tricked people in meetings by having little devices in their ear or whatever to give them information about people who were seated in various places. So we know that really there's nothing supernatural going on. Well, there wasn't there except for a demonic deception, because Satan is the father of lies. But there's also that which is real, both in terms of spiritual gifts and in terms of satanic counterfeits. And sorcery is real. Witchcraft is real. And that's why God says that his people are not to have anything to do with it. So that's why this old fuddy-duddy tries to tell parents and grandparents, don't think it's cute if your child is celebrating some hero who's really into sorcery and witchcraft. Okay? It's not. Would you want your child celebrating Charlie the Pimp? He's got the coolest ride in town. Okay? I want to be like Charlie. Oh, don't worry. There's no such thing as prostitution. Well, of course there is, and it's horrific, and many people are trapped in it. So we shouldn't act as if it's just pretend. What about if he wants to be Gary the Assassin? Okay? I've been reading this series of children's books about Gary the Assassin. Okay? It's really cool. He goes around, he kills people and makes money. Okay? He's highly paid by the crime syndicate to kill people. And I think that would be really cool, you know. I don't mind if my child reads books like that because, I mean, we all know there really is no such a thing as a crime syndicate. And there aren't people who are hitmen and assassins. That doesn't exist. So for my child to be fascinated with this and pretend, you know, he's just pretending to be a hitman for the mob. It's not real. What a horrible thing for your child to be filling their mind with such imaginations and thinking that that very real evil doesn't exist. But as I said, from my perspective, tons of evangelicals and tons of other people act as if all that supernatural stuff isn't really real. We can operate just like the world does, enslaved by the forces of darkness. Read Ephesians 2. It's not a big deal. It's no problem. It's a problem, folks. It's a problem. It's a huge problem. So we've got a deacon working miracles, and we've got conversions and baptisms into the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, some people, as they read in Acts, get confused because it talks about people being baptized into Jesus' name or being baptized in the name of Jesus. And at the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus commissioned his followers to go out into the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that he commanded. So what do you say when you baptize somebody? Well, throughout the history of Orthodox Christianity, even broadly speaking, and including all kinds of folks who may not really know the Lord, the formula that's used is in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now we find in the book of Acts, they're saying that people were baptized in the name of Jesus. Well, Pastor, what do we say? Which is right? When people are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, what it means is we're doing this in obedience to God, the triune God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Folks, that's it for tonight, but I hope that you'll tune in tomorrow night because God has more in store for you. He loves you more than you can imagine, and I hope you're trusting in him. He'll never fail. He'll always do everything he's promised. Trust in the Lord. Depend upon him. You'll be glad you did. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.